grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Merciful Lord, we do not presume to come before you trusting in our own righteousness, but in your great and abundant mercies. Revive our faith, we pray. Heal our bodies and mend our communities, that we may evermore dwell in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, I'm going to sit right here. You guys, come around. Come around this way. Well, I saw, I didn't see it. I was just amazed by it. I was amazed. I have in my car what's called a GPS. A tracking device. Well, you put in, you type in an address. You put in where you want to go, and you put in the address, exactly. And then it starts taking you there. Well, I used this the other day when I went out to see Ethel. Ethel is Ian and Evan's grandma, great-grandma. And I went out to see her, and I've only been there a couple times, so I didn't know for sure how to get there. So I put the address in, and I was amazed. She told me exactly where to turn, when to turn, how to go, and there I got there, just like that. I think GPS systems are pretty amazing. The other thing I think is really amazing is I have a friend that has an iPhone, and she just says into the iPhone, tell me where a good place to buy a barbecue.
Like, it's all free.
And it tells you exactly where to go. It tells you, it answers your question. You can say, what year did the Dodgers win Padres gonna win any games this season? And she would answer. I don't know what she would say. What do you think she'd say? Yeah, maybe. If we pay attention to what we're doing. Okay, so I find that amazing. I find it amazing that a phone can tell an answer to a question or even have an opinion.
Siri,
right. So what do you find amazing? What do you find amazing?
That when my mom was a kid, there was no computers.
That's amazing that there were no computers when your mom was a kid. Yeah, when I was a kid either. There wasn't computers. Yeah. What do you find amazing, Cameron?
One time Siri frightened me.
Oh, Siri is pretty amazing. What else can be amazing? So computers are amazing. GPS is amazing. Siri can tell jokes, that's amazing. But, you know, do you think Jesus was ever amazed? Do you think Jesus was ever amazed at something?
Yeah.
What would it be amazing to Jesus?
That God. Fish in the water.
That there were fish in the water? That would be pretty amazing. So I want you to listen very carefully to the gospel story today and see if you can hear the word that Jesus was amazed. And then figure out what was it that was amazing him. Okay, can you listen for that in the story today? Because you're not going to Sunday school. You're going back to sit in the rows. And you will, but I want you to listen very carefully to the story when I'm reading it and hear the word, what amazed Jesus. Okay, off you go, back to your places.
A reading from 1 Kings. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays towards this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 96 responsibly. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord.
Declare God's glory among the nations and God's wonders among all peoples. For all the gods of the nations, they are but idols. But you, O Lord, have made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth.
Glory to God.
A reading from Galatians. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. But only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of the Lord.
Do you want to go sit out in the congregation so you don't have to look at my back? Although that might be more pleasing. This is a great little story that we hear on this on this first Sunday as we start out on this long season, this green season of after Pentecost called Ordinary Time. Not ordinary in the sense of so same old kind of ordinary, but ordinary meaning ordinal or numbered. So this is the second Sunday after Pentecost, and we number these Sundays all the way until Advent begins. So from now until sometime at the end of November, the 1st of December, we are in the season called the ordinary time, the season after Pentecost. And it's a green season, and you notice we've got green now. And the green season is an indication of the kind of readings and the lessons that we will have. It's all about the growth of faith, the growth of our faith and the growth of the faith of the church. And we get this little story from Luke's gospel. A Roman soldier, an important centurion, one who is clearly not Jewish, send some Jewish leaders to talk to Jesus and to invite him to please come and heal his servant who is sick. So the elders go, and they're from the local synagogue there in Capernaum, and they have no trouble going on behalf of this man because this man, this soldier, is both powerful and generous. In fact, that's the very approach that they take with Jesus. He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us. And then cutting to the chase, they say, come on, Jesus, he's a good guy. You really should do this for him. You need to return the favor. So Jesus goes with them, and while they're almost to the house, when they get on the way, another entourage of friends comes with a new message. Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I didn't come to you, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this. And the slave does it. This centurion, a Gentile, a non-believer, recognizes Jesus' authority in a way that escapes most other people. And Jesus' response is over the top. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. But I think we miss the point of the story if we focus all of our attention on the centurion. This guy doesn't even show up in the story. He's always off stage. He's not named. He doesn't go to Jesus himself and ask for anything. It's other people who tell Jesus about this man's good deeds. It's others who come and talk to Jesus about this man's humility and report his faith, his deep convicted faith. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus doesn't turn to his disciples and to the crowd that was following and say, you should be like that man. Jesus doesn't point to the man and say that we should have faith like him. What Jesus does is give praise for this man's faith. He is simply amazed and, in fact, kind of in awe of this man's faith. What do you think the reason that we have this story in our scriptures? Maybe the story is not to point out the faith of a Gentile soldier so much as it is to have us pay attention to the example that Jesus is giving in recognizing and praising the faith of someone else, recognizing and pointing to the humility and the deep convicted faith of another. Looking at other people and acknowledging their faith. Do you know anyone in your family or in your circle of friends who aren't involved in a church community? Anybody? Anybody know anybody that's not, yeah. Do you love somebody that doesn't love church? We hear so much about the growing number of people who claim none on their box to check a religious denomination. They will check none. There's another group of people that is increasing in numbers called the Duns. Maybe they were involved in a church community at one time, maybe when their kids were in confirmation or something, and now they're just done with it. They're just done. Do you know anybody like that? That used to be involved in church, but now there's this tradition, not tradition, there's this antidote, is that what you call it, when you don't have any facts to prove it and you just kind of hear about it? Antidotal. Okay, so there is this thing about people who have been presidents of councils and pastors of churches, that when they're done doing that job, they're done. And that's kind of surprising to me. There's also people who call themselves spiritual but not religious. I think that would define most of the people in my extended family. I'm not too sure about the spiritual part either, but that idea of being interested but not really. I know this is my own bias, but I find it hard not to wish that those people who were sitting out would be sitting in. I wish they would be sitting here or at least somewhere on a Sunday morning. Living with none as your faith community, to me, seems to be very selfish, too individualistic. It's too personal a way, or too private a way, to go through life. Saying, you know, it's my way, no mutuality. I think it really misses the point, it does for me, of what it means to be baptized into the family of God. I want to say to those people, please join us. We need you here. We miss you at this family meal. Their talents, their gifts are never brought to be shared with the faith community. And that leaves us poorer and less whole than we would be otherwise. And I think that those folks are poorer and less whole without a faith community as well. But that's my bias. That's where I stand. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't say you should be like this man, Jesus doesn't say in this story, you should do this or do that, or be like this or be like that. In fact, he doesn't invite the soldier to come and follow me. He doesn't tell the soldier, now you go out and tell everyone about what Jesus has done for you. He just steps back and stands with the crowd and with the observers next to us and invites us to do as he does. Look in amazement and gratitude at the faith of the one that is not there. Of all of those nuns and duns and spiritual but not religious folks that you know, are there any people of generosity and humility in that group? Are there spiritual but not religious people who care about God's creation and about the people whom God loves? Of course there are. And I'm thinking that this is the reason that this story is recounted by Luke and by the other gospel writers, in fact. Just because this man is in the Roman army doesn't mean that he's incapable of doing good. Clearly, he already has done good. The Jewish leaders in town have recounted these good deeds to Jesus. And given that the soldier was well acquainted with these leaders, we shouldn't be surprised that he has heard about Jesus and is eager in making a request for his favorite servant. But this makes for a very complex situation. He's a Roman centurion, and he does good for the Jewish community. He's part of the occupying force that is oppressing Israel. And he built a synagogue for the people of the community who are under his authority. He's a Gentile, and he has faith in Jesus. It is so true that we cannot judge a person by only one attribute or one part of their personality. We can't write off a person based on one aspect of their being. Jesus commends the faith of this Gentile soldier, even though we have no reason to believe that he became a follower of Jesus. He doesn't ask to follow Jesus. He doesn't confess him as Messiah. In fact, he doesn't even seem all that interested in meeting Jesus. He simply acknowledges and sees the authority of Jesus. And Jesus praises that astounding faith. Today, maybe we should step beyond our judgments of others. Why I'm preaching to myself here, and give God thanks for all of the nuns and the duns and the spiritual but not religious people in our lives. We can pray that God would continue to use them to do God's will in the world, whether they recognize God or not, whether they even know that God is in their lives or not. One of Pope Francis, my good buddy, one of his consistent themes is that we are all children of God. And Francis takes every opportunity to remind the world of that. Sometimes, in fact, his acceptance of the other gets him into trouble with some of the church leaders who would rather draw lines of exclusion and make rules about who can be in and who's out. Last week, he got into hot water by saying that all people are redeemed by Christ's sacrifice, and that all of us, believers and non-believers, are called to be people who do charitable acts. Atheists, Muslims, Jews, Christians, all of us, and he lumped us together, all of us are called to do good work. I wonder how many people who are not followers of Jesus that God is using right now. I wonder how many people of other faiths we might be amazed about if we stop to notice the good that they're doing. I wonder how many people of different faith or of no faith we might see differently, that we might be able to see as God's beloved children if we remembered Jesus' amazement at the faith of the centurion. So here's the thing. God loves everyone. God works through everyone. God has hopes and dreams for everyone. And we might be surprised who God chooses, who God works through, who God will use for our example. There's so much noise about the other, so much fear of those who are different from us, those from a different country or professing a different faith, living in a different part of town, looking different from us, having different needs, different hopes, different dreams. To God, there is no other. We are all beloved children. The God who is always stepping over our carefully drawn lines and boundaries, invites us to stand with him and be amazed and delighted in the good works of all of his children. I don't think many people expected Jesus to be amazed at the faith of this Roman centurion, and yet he was. And that willingness to be surprised, even amazed, together with Jesus' commitment to God's purpose to heal and save all the world, has made all the difference. What might happen if we were willing to be surprised by whom God is using? What might happen if we were committed to sharing with all God's children the good news of God's love for all of God's children? Let's find out. Let's be amazed at the good deeds that all of God's children are doing. Amen.